Hey, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the book of Romans tonight, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse number 30. Romans 15, verse number 30. We're going to look at just four verses tonight. When I thought about what to teach tonight, I was having a hard time deciding what to teach. But then my mind kept going back to last Wednesday night. If you were here with us last Wednesday night, Pastor got through about a half an hour's worth of teaching and his voice gave out. And you know what? We had a special, precious time of worship and prayer after that. And then I thought, wow, let's talk about prayer tonight. So we're going to do that. In Romans 15, in verse number 30, I've titled this topical teaching tonight, Will You Pray? Will you pray? Follow along as I read. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Paul, the Apostle Paul, we refer to him a lot of times as our New Testament pastor. Probably one of the greatest Christians that ever has lived, I would say. Wrote most of the New Testament. He was a man of power. He was used by God in some very magnificent ways. He saw the Lord work miracles, save more souls than I will ever see saved. You think a man of his stature, a man who carried himself like that, a man who had seen so much and had done so much for Jesus, you would think that he would be one of wanting nothing or needing nothing from anybody. But you see, it's not the case. Several times in the writing of Paul, Paul is asking for help. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, it says, Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says, Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. And in Hebrews 13:18, it says, Pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do. You see, Paul is asking the people of God to pray for him. You see, here's a man who's on top of the world spiritually. He's out there ministering, giving everything that he has for Jesus. But he feels the need to have God's people behind him, battling for him in prayer. Yeah, here's a man that is so aware of the benefits of having the believers of God lift him up in prayer. Paul is asking the question, who will pray for me? You see, he is also illustrating for us one of the greatest privileges that we have as believers. We have the privilege of being part of the ministry and the work of others. Did you catch that? Because that's an important part of tonight's message. We have the opportunity to be a part of the ministry of others when we pray for them. You see, when we have missionaries come in and talk to us, like we've had the Rainers here from Mexico, we've had the gentleman here that was the pastor to the least in Africa, and we've had other missionaries here. You see, when we pray for them on a regular basis, we are actually a part of their ministry. When you pray for Pastor Ken and his teaching on Sunday, when you pray for me and my teaching, you see, you're part of the ministry. Isn't that a special thing to know that when we pray for others and for their ministries, that we're an active part, you see, of that ministry? When we pray for them and carry their needs before the Lord, you see, we have that part in the ministry. So what Paul is asking is for people to lift him up. He's inviting them to join him as he serves the Lord. Do we think of that very often? Do we think about that when we pray for our church that we're part of that ministry. You see, that's so important. You see, down through the years, God has given us some really spiritual giants. Think of just two, Billy Graham, Luis Palau. Just think of those two. But you see, every one of those people have had people that prayed for them on their behalf. If you listened to the Billy Graham memorial service, and if you didn't, I would encourage you to do it because it was a beautiful service. One by one, people got up and said how they had prayed for Dr. Graham and his ministry. You see, they were part of that Billy Graham ministry. And that's what's so important. You see, when rewards are handed out, you see, those that have labored in the prayer closets, those that have been in their war rooms, those war prayer rooms, on their knees praying, are going to receive great rewards. I really believe that. So tonight, as we look at these four verses, will you pray for me? We're going to break these four verses down into three little categories. The first one is in verse number 30, and it's a call for diligence in prayer. It's a call for diligence in prayer. Verse number 30, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. You see, if you look at the King James Version, that word beg is beseech. I beseech you. That's a strong word that Paul is using. It's the same word that's actually used in Romans 12:1. Listen to this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, Paul used that word beseech to present their bodies to the Lord. Here they're called, in verse number 30 in Romans 15, they are called on him to join in that ministry of prayer. That word beseech comes from a word that means to call to one side or to draft into service. Now, most of you know that I am a very big football fan. I love football. I love when football season is here. When football season is here, I don't have a lot to watch. But I love to watch football. And you see, last weekend was the NFL draft. And I watched a lot of the draft, I'll admit to you. I liked to watch that because I wanted to see what was happening. I wanted to see who was getting what. But you see, that's what, when a team drafts a player, they're drafting him into their team to come alongside to be a service to that team. But you see, that's what Paul is saying here when he's saying, I want to draft you into my ministry. I want you to pray for me. It gives that impression of an SOS. Hey, I'm setting up this help sign. I want you to help me. I want you to pray for me. Paul is saying, I need your help. I'm drafting you to come alongside me. Help me pray about some things. You see, just like a running back in a football game, if that running back is handed the ball by the quarterback and there's nobody there to block for him, he's not going to go very far. And that's just the way it is in our service, our prayer time. You see, ministries won't go very far if there aren't those out there praying for the ministry, out there blocking, out there running interference, praying to the Lord for that ministry. And that's what Paul is asking for right here. He's asking for others to be out in front of him, to pray for him, to keep him in their prayers. What is the motive of prayer? Well, Paul tells them that he isn't asking selfishly for their prayers. See, he wants them to know this very special thing. He's asking them because he wants Jesus to get the glory. Paul's request isn't for himself. No, it's for the glory of God. And that should be the theme of every prayer that we pray. Do our prayers carry that theme that we're praying for the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's a heavy verse when you think about that. When you get right down to that, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That verse hit home because maybe I do watch a little bit too much football. I don't think so, but maybe I do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's what Paul is saying here. When you pray for me, pray for the glory of God to be done. Paul says, Jesus' sake, for the love of the Spirit. When we're saved, you see, and the Spirit of God indwells in us, you see, one of the first things he gives us is that love for others. He gives us that love for others. Romans 5:5 says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You see, that's why we pray. That's one of the major reasons that we pray. If I love you, I'm going to pray for you. If you're concerned about me, you're going to pray for me. If you're concerned for our church, you're going to pray for our church. If you're concerned for a missionary that the Lord has laid upon your heart, you're going to pray for that missionary. If you're concerned for our radio station, you're going to pray for that radio station. If you're concerned for pastor's health, you're going to lift him up each and every day. You see, that's what the love of Jesus does to us. When the love of Jesus enters in, we're concerned about others. It's our desire to glorify God out of the love for him. What is Paul saying about the ministry of prayer, though? Well, Paul calls upon these Christians to strive with him in prayer. If you look at verse number 30, that word strive, that word carries the idea of entering into a fight with someone else. Entering into a fight with someone else. It's the same word, the same English word that we get the word agony. Agony. It's the same word that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can look at that in Luke 22:44. It pictures prayer as wrestling. As wrestling. And that's what it is sometimes. Can you think of something that's easier sometimes than praying? Sometimes it's hard to pray. We wrestle with that. Our mind wanders. We wrestle. Why is that? Well, Satan doesn't want us to pray. He's fearful of the Christian believer that has a deep, deep prayer life. That's not what he wants. He wants to clutter our minds with that stuff. He doesn't want us to have those effectual prayers. James 5:16 says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You see, Paul here in these scriptures that we're looking at tonight in Romans isn't referring to some casual approach to the throne of grace in prayer. He's talking about people who come boldly before the Lord. Come boldly before the Lord. Those who are faithful in their prayer time. Those who are faithful to pray throughout the night if they have to. Those who are faithful to go into their prayer closets and pray for that particular need. Those that get down on their knees and pray with a fervent mind, praying for the glory of God to be done. You see, that's what Paul is talking about here. Prayer is that opportunity that we have to enter into spiritual warfare with Satan. Yes, prayer is our opportunity to stand tall in the power of God and to fight those battles against enemies we can't even see. It's that opportunity to fight and win those battles. You see, it's the prayer of a mom who prays for her son in battle. It's the prayers of those parents who pray for their missionary sons and daughters across the sea. I can remember so many times, my sister and brother-in-law were missionaries in Colombia, I've told you this, and there's so many times that we had the opportunity to pray for them because we would get word, we need prayer. We're being attacked. We're being cast into trouble here because people don't want us here. You see, we had that opportunity to pray, and that's what it's about. You know, see, we may never see those results. I can tell you this, that when my sister Barlow went over to Columbia in 1960, late 60s, the only way we had to communicate with them, for the most part, was either by the mail. So you would send a letter and wait 2 weeks back and forth. So if you were praying for something, you really didn't know what the answer was. You didn't know if that answer came. Sometimes we'd have a ham radio conversation, but those were far and few between. But as the times got, as they stayed over there longer, then fax machines came in and telephone, and we could cell phone, and then now Skype and email and all that stuff. But you see, when we don't know if our prayers are answered, it's just that much important that we just keep praying and praying and praying, that we lift up those people, even if we don't see the answer. Number one, a call for diligence in prayer. Number two, in verses 31 and 32, a call for detail in prayer. A call for detail in prayer. That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. You see, Paul is not asking for generalized prayers in these verses. He takes the time to tell the believers exactly what to pray for. He wants them to pray for. He wants their prayers to be specific. And you see, we shouldn't be afraid to name our requests. That's why we have prayer cards that we ask you to put in the tithe box. That's why we have an email that you can send a prayer request to. That's why we have prayer counselors up here after a service, so you can come up and pray with someone. You see, we want those specific prayer requests. We have a prayer committee here at the church that is active and actively praying for those requests when they come in. I thank God for each one of them. We have such an active prayer committee here at the church. And thank you so much for being a part of that committee that takes the time when those emails come in to read them and to pray for those specific needs, those specific people that are on that prayer list. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. Our requests should be specific. There's three specific areas where Paul asks for prayer. Number one, that his walk, you see, as he goes, might be protected. You see, Paul knew that he was walking into some possible trouble. There were people in Jerusalem, you see, where he was going, who hated Paul and the message that he preached. They didn't want to hear it, and they wanted to do nothing but stop, but get to kill him. You see, if you read Acts 23, you'll see that there were 40 men who had said, "We're not going to eat and drink until we can kill Paul." They hated him, and he's praying for protection. That specific prayer, please pray for protection for me. You see, that same kind of protection, that same kind of prayers, that praying is needed today. You see, as God's people, we're being attacked each and every day. Oh, we're not being persecuted. There's people in other lands that are being persecuted and killed for their beliefs. We're not going through that, but we are being attacked, and we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our pastor that he goes through and shepherds his church, that the attacks won't be on him. We need to pray for him. Pray for his health. We need to pray for those that are involved in the radio station. Do you think Satan wants the radio station to play 24/7, 365? Of course not. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want the gospel going out. But you see, it's going out. Pray that that will continue. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, and I love this verse. Stay alert. I love those two words, stay alert. It's so clear. Stay alert. That's a command. Hey, stay alert. Why? Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. What? Looking for someone to devour. Pretty clear. You see, when we think about that, it will encourage us to pray for each other. Pray for each other. You see, our real power of this church is spiritual in nature, and it's exercised through prayer. That's the power of our church. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And again, it says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers. Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, we need to pray for our church leaders, our pastors. We need to pray for those young pastors that are just coming out of seminary and starting churches all around the world. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for young people in our schools. We need to pray for young people that are in churches. There was just something, we talked about this on the radio the other night on Facebook. There was a picture of some high school students. They were going to the prom. And they were sitting around a restaurant table and they were praying before they ate. And somebody complained about that. He said, well, why are you calling them good? You don't know anything about them. Well, that's true, we don't. But here are a bunch of good students praying before a meal, before they go to a prom. You see, that's the kind of attacks that we're under. Pray for our young people. Pray for the protection from the enemy. Pray that we'll be strong and that the attacks of the evil one, we're going to be turned back. Turned back. You see, Paul also asked for prayer that his work might prosper. You see, Paul, next item of prayer concerns the offering that he's taking, you see, to the church in Jerusalem. If you go back to Romans 15, go back just a couple verses to verse number 25. And I apologize, this is in a different translation, but if you'll follow along in verse number 25. It says, but before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. Now, why would Paul have a problem with this offering? That kind of seems kind of strange when you stop and think about it. Why would he have a problem with the offering? Well, it's because these unbelieving Jews, they wanted Paul dead. And then you see there were some believers over here that didn't quite trust Paul yet. Because remember what Paul's background was. He was a murderer of Christians. And people just didn't quite trust him yet. And he was concerned about that. You see, what he merely wanted them to pray was that God would open doors and soften hearts. That God would open doors and soften the heart of those that he was going to minister to. You see, that's the kind of praying that we certainly need today in our church. Oh, you know, you probably don't know this or maybe not even aware of it, but we have a group of people in this service tonight. They're called the In-Service Prayer Support People. And you know what? They're praying throughout the service for people here. They're praying for you. Oh, they're praying for me. And I don't know who it is right now that's praying, but somebody's praying right now. And we do that in every service because we want to make sure that if there are those in the service that are hurting, maybe there's someone in the service that needs to know Jesus as their Savior. Maybe there's somebody that's just going through some tough times. You see, we're praying for them throughout the service. And that's what it really comes down to, that we want to pray for those open doors and pray for those softened hearts. Oh, we pray as the worship is done. We pray as the word goes out that Jesus will get into the hearts of those that are here during the service. But you see, Paul also asked for prayer that God's will might prevail. Paul wants to come to Rome if it's the will of God. You see, that's what the scripture says. If it's the will of God, he wants to rejoice with them. If it's the will of God, Paul wants to go and pray with them. Paul speaks of that joy and that refreshment. You see, those things exist when the will of God is being carried out. But you see, above all, Paul is telling these folks, when you pray for me, I want you to pray that the will of God as I go will be accomplished. And that's how we need to pray here at our church, that the will of God will be accomplished in each service. That same group of people meets 15 minutes before each service, and they pray for this service. They pray for our pastors. They pray for our worship team, that the will of God will be accomplished. You see, when we're in God's will, we have that joy. Oh, you see, but when we're out of God's will, there's that loss of joy. Oh, you see, when we're in His will, we're refreshed in the Spirit. But you see, when we're out of His will, there's no refreshment of the heart. Just as I've told you several times, when the pastor can't ask me to leave the worship team and become part of the pastoral ministry, I fought that for a couple months because that wasn't my will. After all, I've been in part of music all my life. How could I give that up? That's what I went to school for. Lord, you can't be asking me to do that. So I fought that. And you see, I was out of His will, and I wasn't as refreshed as I could be. But you see, when the Lord finally clonked me on the head one last time and said, "Don't you get it yet?" And I gave up. I became refreshed, and I was in His will. And if I hadn't done that, I can't tell you how many blessings I would have missed out on. They're too numerous to even remember. Just too numerous to remember. That God's will might prevail. A call for detail in prayer. Number three, a call for delight in prayer. A call for delight in prayer. Verse number 33, it says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." You know, that's that final verse. It gives us a look really into Paul's heart. You see, he's able to leave all these matters that he's asked these folks to pray about in the hand of God and rest in that assurance that God will take care of him. That final verse, you see, that we just read is something of a prayer that Paul prays right there. You see, it's breathed by the Apostle Paul on behalf of the church, and it teaches us some really valuable components that need to be included into our prayer life. You see, this isn't Paul calling out in despair. It isn't him throwing up his arms in defeat and saying, no, he's telling these folks, "I have committed these matters to God, and I'm at rest. I've committed everything now to God, and I'm at rest. I want you to pray for me. I want you to rest too." Paul is saying, rest in the peace of God. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. He knows that he's able to rest in the arms of God. He's able to trust God, that God will take care of everything. God will take care of you. You see, that's a lesson for you. That's a lesson for me. You see, as we labor in prayer before the Lord, when we've prayed about something and we've committed it to Him, then we've committed it to the will of God. We can have peace in our hearts that He's going to take care of it for us. He may not answer it the way we want, but He has the master plan. You see, then when we have prayed well and committed it to Him, we can rest in His peace. John 14:27 says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift of the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." I think that's so important. Oh, I think that's so important that we thank Jesus for all that he's done for us, because he has done so much. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Paul also tells them to rest in the presence of God. Paul reminds the believers that they have the peace of God to rest in, but they also have the presence of God to rely on. They have the peace of God to rest in. They have the presence of God to rely on. Paul wants them to know that they can count on God to be with him as he travels, and that they'll hear from him again. He wants them to know to rest in the presence of God. You and I can have that same assurance in life. There are times when we look at situations that are totally hopeless. There, as long as we leave God out of the picture, you know what? They're totally hopeless. But you see, when we leave God out, we're in a mess. But when we can, we never have to leave God out. He's always with us, regardless of the situation. He answers those prayers. He's always there for us. Several years ago, I was going to go into a business with some non-Christian people. And it would have been a mess. It would have never worked out. And if it wasn't through my sister who gave me a knock on the head over the telephone and said, "Are your partners going to be, are they Christians?" And I had to say no. And I had to back out of the deal. And I'm so glad I did, because it would have been a mess. You see, without God, it would have been a mess. With God, when we go through those difficulties, he's always there with us. Listen to the last part of Hebrews 13:5. And I love this verse. It says, "I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." That's a great promise. That God will never fail us. And he'll never abandon us. He's always there with us. Through those difficult times. Through those storms. He's right there in the boat with us. He never leaves us. Paul was praying and the folks in Rome were praying. Did God answer those prayers? Well, you can find out in Acts 21 through 23. Paul was protected. He was received well at the church at Jerusalem and was able to rejoice with those Christians. God heard the prayers of Paul and the people that he had praying for him, and they were answered. When we pray, I know there's times that we can get discouraged, because sometimes the answer is no. And that's difficult. It's easy when the answer is yes, when we hear those answers right away and the answer is yes. Thank you, Jesus, for answering that prayer. But when the answer is no, it's difficult. But you see, we have to remember that we're in God's will, and God's timing is his timing. That, as Pastor Ken says, we see just this little part of the parade. The whole parade is seen by God. And he knows what's best. And sometimes we hear that word wait. And that's difficult also. I can think of nothing better of an example than the radio antenna at the studio. God said wait. And we waited. And you know what? Prayers were answered. In a great way. In a way that we could have never imagined. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying for this church? Are you praying for our community? Are you praying for our pastors? Are you praying for the leaders here that serve in children's ministry, the worship team, those that get things ready? Are you praying? Oh, I hope you are. There's a song that's called "Jesus at the Center." It says, "Jesus at the center of it all, from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Nothing else matters and nothing in this world will do, because Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves about you. Jesus, be the center of my life from beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you. Jesus be at the center of your church. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess you, Jesus. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. You see, if Jesus is the center of our lives, he'll be the center of our prayer life. And that's really what it's all about. Jesus is right there at the center point. Pray for our church. Pray for our pastor. Pray for the radio station. Pray. Pray in earnest. Time is short, folks. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Jesus is coming soon. Pray. Pray, pray.